God's word for you, 1 Chronicles 9, verses 1 and 2. So all Israel was enrolled by their genealogies, and these were written in the book of the kings of Israel. Then Judah was taken captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. Now the first group to resettle in their land and their cities were some Israelites, priests, Levites, and temple servants. This point in the book begins a new section. No longer are the Israelites being described prior to the exile, but for a short time, 1 Chronicles 9, 1-34, we're hearing about what happened at the time of the great Babylonian crisis. Verse 1 describes the reason for the exile, and verse 2 begins the description of what happened after the exiles got back home. In a chronological sense, this part of chapter 9 really belongs at the end of 2 Chronicles 24:34, because this is the description of the people who did as Cyrus allowed there. Any one of the Lord's people among you may go back. And the list here corresponds to Nehemiah 11:1-3. The returning lay people are simply called Israel here in Hebrew, but we usually prefer to say Israelites. We take this to mean that the very first exiles to return from Babylon were mostly ordinary Israelites, later to simply be called Jews, since they were mostly from Judah. All of the references to Jews in the Old Testament come naturally from books written during or after the exile, for example, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Zechariah, and the late chapters of Jeremiah. This detail is one of the many facts, not conjectures or guesses, but facts, that shows that the majority of the Old Testament was written prior to the exile, not after it, as many 19th century critics often proposed. Other returning exiles included some of the priests and Levites, and a group described as the Nethinim, or temple servants. In Ezra 2:70 and other places, they are distinct from the singers and gatekeepers. Most or all of the Nethinim lived in the hill of Ophel and helped with the repairs to Jerusalem's wall, and we see that in Nehemiah 3. Two Levites named Ziha and Gishpa were in charge of the Nethinim. Evidently, their service included many of the menial tasks in the temple, including much of the physical cutting up of sacrifices and standing before the people to be available to assist with worship, something we might think of as being between an usher and a waiter, and also the cleaning up that needed to be done. We see this in Ezekiel 44. Unlike the priests, who could only do their work between the ages of 30 to 50, the temple servants, or Nethinim, could work between the ages of 25 and 50, according to Numbers 8. After 50, they could instruct and assist, but they themselves, this is Numbers 8:26, they themselves were not to do the work. The reason for the exile was the unfaithfulness of the people. Like a woman unfaithful to her husband, Jeremiah says, so you have been unfaithful to me, O house of Israel. I will make the land desolate because they have been unfaithful, declares the Lord God. That's Ezekiel 15. And Daniel prayed in Daniel 9, you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. While they were in exile, some of the Jews took their predicament to heart and repented of their sins. King Manasseh, one of the worst of Judah's bad kings, was taken away prisoner. And the enemy took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. That's 2 Chronicles 33:11. But he humbled himself there, prayed to God for forgiveness, and he was released and allowed to go home again, where he did good things and threw the false gods out of the city of Jerusalem. And in the book of Nahum, God holds out his grace to unfaithful Judah. Although I have afflicted you, O Judah, I will afflict you no more. Nahum 1:12. The grace of God is shown to sinful, repentant man like the sun suddenly coming out from behind the clouds after a storm. God smiles at his forgiven children and says, was my arm too short to ransom you? Do I lack the strength to rescue you? That's Isaiah 50. When he is merciful, he is completely merciful. so much so that we could perhaps coin a new and correct Latin term, omni miserent, all merciful. He gives to us the righteousness of Christ, which is ours by faith, exactly as he says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe, Romans 3:22. For this reason, our preaching must not consist in merely giving all manner of interesting information about the forgiveness of sins, but in proclaiming to sinners the fact of the forgiveness, the fact that the world is reconciled to God. And because of the gospel, and because the gospel is God's own proclamation of grace to a sin-cursed world, it actually promises, offers, and brings grace and forgiveness to all who hear it. Your sins are forgiven. You are at peace with God. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.